We've talked a lot about the relationship between the United States and Pakistan on this show, and it appears that that's a relationship that, well, perhaps could be coming to an end. At least that's suggested by a recent article in the New York Times written by Eric Schmidt. He's the terrorism correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and co-author of the book Counterstrike, The Untold Story of America's Secret Campaign Against Al-Qaeda. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I was interested to read in your article that you described the relationship between Pakistan and the United States as functionally over. And yet for a very long period of time, this has long been assumed to be a relationship that could never end, that these were two countries that were so dependent on one another for one reason or another that they couldn't ever walk away.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily the relationship will be completely terminated or completely over. What I was struck by, and this is my fifth reporting trip there in 3 years, was that this very ambitious security program that former Ambassador Richard Holbrooke championed before he died just a year ago, that encompassed everything from military cooperation to the rule of law to economic development, that broad sweeping type of relationship is very much, I think, over. And I think what the U.S. is now looking at are what are its essential core interests with Pakistan. I think you can boil it down to two or three. It's countering terrorists still. It's being sure you have a stable Afghanistan next door, and it's ensuring the safety of Pakistan's nuclear arsenal, some 100 or more weapons. So it's very selective, very specific type of security relationships, largely based around counterterrorism interests. But that broad sweeping agenda, I think, is a thing of the past now.
You know, Pakistan is a relatively divided country. We've talked about this at length, that the military is one force of opinion, the government is another, and not even the government is entirely united. But does this desire to sort of end the relationship that Pakistan has had with the U.S., does that seem to be sort of a united front coming from Pakistan?
You know, it has, and it comes at the end of a very bad year for U.S.-Pakistan relations,
yeah.
Starting earlier this year with the case of Jim Davis, a CIA contractor who shot and killed two Pakistanis in the streets of Lahore, followed, of course, by the Navy SEAL raid that killed Osama bin Laden in May, and then the very unfortunate NATO airstrike just last month that killed some 26 Pakistani soldiers. These incidents have all seen as an affront to Pakistani sovereignty, but as you said, kind of a rallying point for all these disparate factions within Pakistan to rally against Americans. I mean, anti-Americanism has been high there for a number of years, but it is particularly acute now. There have been huge rallies just in the last couple of weeks, tens of thousands of people showing up angry, particularly at this strike and the report that came out recently that basically said the U.S. acted in self-defense in attacking these Pakistani troops who fired on them first. But it really caps, I think, a relationship that's been going sour for some time.
Yeah, I mean, Pakistan has been pretty key in the war on terrorism. Obviously, has been extremely important for the war in Afghanistan. There's a number of supply routes that go through Pakistan. What goes away that the United States needs to find elsewhere should this relationship change substantially?
Well, you've already seen it with after this drone strike, for instance, Pakistan closed its supply routes, its vital supply routes from Pakistan into Afghanistan. More than 40% of supplies going to troops there flow through Pakistan. So it's Americans to look at other routes more aggressively coming in down from the north. So I think what you'll see is fewer supplies going in through Pakistan, and those that do are going to cost the Americans and NATO a lot more money. The Pakistanis are going to charge a lot more for that privilege. The CIA was forced to close a base that it used for its drone operations in southwestern Pakistan. They've already made contingency arrangements for other bases in Afghanistan, but it's an inconvenience at the very least.
We're speaking with Eric Schmidt. He's the terrorism correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. We're talking about the changing relationship with Pakistan. Are there upsides here, Eric? I mean, to a certain extent, it seems to me that it's been partly the cozy relationship between the U.S. and Pakistan in some ways that has led to the anti-American sentiment. It's been the intrusion of American troops, of American secret operatives in Pakistan that has helped fuel this rise in anti-American sentiment. So perhaps a little distance, could it help the U.S.?
It may actually in the long run, and that's the way both Pakistani and American diplomats were talking last week when I was there, and that their Pakistanis call it a more transparent relationship. And if things are basically written down, agreed to in advance. There'll be no more of these kind of misunderstandings that happen. It will be a more limited relationship, but it also will force Pakistan to look at its interests and perhaps even look with a new eye at its longtime rival, India, to the east, with which it is going to have to engage in greater trade. Pakistan's economy is in a free fall right now, and they need to get a boost. And right now there are increasing ties that even the military, of course, the arch rival of India, recognize may be the long-term solution to many of Pakistan's economic problems.
Well, with Pakistan in such economic straits, and that means that the aid that the United States gives that country becomes even more important. Could all this be empty threats?
Well, it's interesting because I think what you're certainly going to see is a reduction in military aid. More than $1 billion goes every year from the U.S. to Pakistan in military aid. There was an effort early in the Obama administration to shift to increase the amount of non-military aid, economic development. Unfortunately, a lot of that has been sucked up by the terrible floods that Pakistan suffered, so a lot of the aid has been directed to helping the immediate concerns of flood relief victims. But it's also been hampered because of the security situation. I mean, you can't go out and build new schools and roads and develop economically if the security situation is so bad that people won't go there. So a lot of the grander economic plans and the economic development plans have also been shelved or at least been put on hold pending an improvement in the security situation on the ground in many parts of Pakistan.
Which is ironically the same problem they have just north in Afghanistan. Eric Schmidt is a terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, co-author, along with Tom Shanker, of Counterstrike, The Untold Story of America's Secret Campaign Against Al-Qaeda. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.
You can read his article about the changing relationship with Pakistan in The New York Times.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.